The outline is not on the back of the bulletin, it's on a separate sheet of paper. If you did not, now I collected these off. If you did need to receive a sermon outline this morning, you're very welcome to. You have one, if you just hold your hand up, I'll make sure you have one. If you'd like one. I'm going to want to be presumptuous and think that you want to follow along with me. Doing a series of lessons on the subject of baptism. This is lesson number 4. The previous lessons involved the definition of baptism. Baptism was practiced in the New Testament church. Requirements that one being baptized. Noted in last weeks ago was on the benefits and the blessings of one being baptized, what it offers us. And so the question has also been asked many times, why is it, and they may say, Brian, why is it that we don't baptize infants or babies in the congregation here? They see it, many religious groups teach that when a baby is born, it's born guilty of sin. And it has what they refer to as, quote, original sin. And then they add to it that that baby cannot enter heaven unless is baptized, meaning having water sprinkled or poured over its head. And we noted in previous lessons that's not what the word baptized means. Not even, the biblical definition is very singular in its meaning, and it has no other meaning. There's no authority for any religious group to change its meaning. Baptized means you dip, plunge, immerse, and submerge, and then emerge in water. It can mean nothing else. So when somebody says, oh, we're going to have our baby baptized, and they have water sprinkled on his head, that's not baptism biblically. They, oh, I had water poured over my baby's head. That's not baptism biblically. There's no Bible authority for it. It's not authorized by God or his son Jesus or by the apostles or any written information in the Bible. I want to stress that. Biblically, there is no foundation. Biblically, there is no foundation for infants having water sprinkled or poured over their head. And I'm going to illustrate that in our lesson this morning. And next week, Lord willing. Obviously, when you look at 2 pages of notes, I'm not going to finish this lesson this morning. So, the teaching of the doctrine of original sin is one of John Calvin's teaching. And this is not in your notes. But John Calvin was born July 10 in the year 1509, about 500 years ago. And John Calvin's first point in his Calvinistic doctrine is this, and it's 3 words. Hereditary, total depravity. That's his first point. Now look at each word by its definition. Hereditary means, John Calvin would say, sin is passed from the parent to the offspring. Sin is hereditary. The baby is born with sin because of a hereditary influence. The second word in John Calvin's illustration is total. Hereditary, total, meaning that it makes up the whole or the entirety or the all of that baby or that infant. Hereditary, total depravity. Meaning when that baby is born, it's born corrupt, it's made evil, it's sin-laden, that baby is born wicked. That's Calvinistic, John Calvin's teaching. And many religious groups teach that when a baby is born, it's born guilty, it has original sin, it cannot enter heaven unless it had that water sprinkled or poured over its head. As a result of that false teaching, which goes also back to Augustine, not just John Calvin, but Augustine was born in AD 354, so this teaching really goes back to the 4th century. And many religious groups have taken up the practice of having a baby, they say, use the word baptized, or having water sprinkled or poured over its head, again, which is not baptism, because baptism means strictly and has no other definition, dip, plunge, submerge, immerse in water. So with that in mind, I'm giving you some biblical reasons why we, and that was the question asked, Brian, why aren't babies and infants or small children baptized by this congregation here? So number one, there's no command or example in the entire New Testament. And this applies to everything we do in life and even the worship assembly. The things that we practice, is there a Bible command for it? Is there a Bible example for it? And if not, we're not going to practice it. This that we participate in our worship assembly, singing, there's biblical examples for it. There's biblical illustrations. When we bow down in prayer in the assembly, there's biblical command or example for it. When we partake of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, there's biblical example for it. There's a command in Acts 20, verse 7. The disciples came together on the first day of the week to break bread. Observe that communion. We have, when we observe things in our worship assembly, we do so because the Bible says to do that. There's Bible authorization, either by command or by example. So number one, said someone asked Brian, why don't we baptize infants or babies? Show me in the Bible a command for it, or an illustration, an example of infants or babies or small children being immersed, and there you'll not find any. It's not there. So that's number one, why we don't do it. Second, biblically, to be qualified for baptism, one must be able to receive instruction, believe it, respond accordingly, make a confession of faith. Jesus, in his last words in giving this great commission to his apostles, in Matthew 28, 19, he says, go make disciples of all the nations. All right, now, don't pass over that too quickly. Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Now, the process of making a disciple would be to someone that's capable of receiving instruction. If I'm going to make a disciple of someone, it has to be someone that has the ability to comprehend the message. The word disciple means follower, student, or a learner, or an imitator of the master teacher. Can a baby do that? Can I make a disciple of a baby? Can that baby become immediately a student? A disciple, a follower of the master teacher, meaning Jesus. In Romans 6, verse 17, Paul said to those who were baptized back in verses 4 through 6, in Romans 6, 17, you obeyed from the heart. You didn't just obey, it was from the heart. Can a baby do that? Can that infant in arms, can you respond to the teaching I just gave? Can you respond to the biblical message? Can you obey voluntarily? Can you obey from the heart? The newborn cannot accomplish these things in order to be baptized, cannot be instructed, cannot respond of its own free will, cannot do it. So therefore, we do not make a disciple out of the baby or the infant or the small child. It's the believers who are qualified to be baptized. In Acts 8, verse 36, when Philip preaches to the Ethiopian, these are in your notes mentioned. In Acts 8, verse 36 through 38, they went down the road. Philip is preaching a message about Jesus to him. They came to some water. The eunuch said, that baby talk. If I preach to that baby, can he respond and say, the Ethiopian said, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. Can that baby believe with all the heart? Can that baby hear that message and take it to heart and respond of its own free will? If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Can that baby say that? So when the Ethiopian said that, Philip said, he commanded the chariot to stand still. Both Philip and the Ethiopian, or the eunuch, went down into the water. They both went down into the water. And he baptized them. Okay. Baptism is for believers. In Acts 2, verse 41, after Peter stood up and they cried out, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Verse 41 says, those who received his word were baptized. A qualification for being baptized is for one to receive the word of God. Those who received his word were baptized. That day about 3,000 souls were added. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread and prayers. So once they're baptized, you need to immediately start continuing in the apostles' teaching, in the word of God, doing what the word of God says, living correctly and worshiping. Can a baby do that? Baptism is for believers. See? In Acts 8, verse 12, says they when they believed Philip as he preached, the audience believed what Philip preached concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. You see, Christianity is a taught religion. You have to be taught. In Acts 16, beginning of verse 14, certain woman named Lydia heard us, Paul and Silas, opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. Can that baby's heart be open to heed the things that are being said or taught or preached? And the next phrase is, and she and her household were baptized. She opened her heart to the things that were preached. In Acts 18, verse 8, many of the Corinthians, and here's the sequence, and we mentioned this 2 weeks ago in our lesson. Many of the Corinthians hearing, believed, and were baptized. They were baptized in 12 or 16 or 18 years later, heard the word of God and believed it. No. They heard, then they believed it, and then they were baptized. That's the order. So that baby, that infant, is not to be baptized because they cannot respond accordingly to those things that precede baptism. Meaning you have to hear the message, the good news, the gospel, believe it, have the ability to repent, make your confession of faith, then you can be baptized. But we don't baptize babies or infants. And we certainly don't pour water over their head or sprinkle water on their head. There's no command or illustration for that. And baptized has that one definition. It has no other. No council, no synod, no committee, no one man, no one anybody has the authority to change that definition of baptism. Even though Webster does it in his dictionary. You look up the word christening, and it says baptism. So we don't baptize babies or infants or small children. Number three, the baby's not able to commit sin. Has not committed sin. Remember, and I put in your notes, one of the results of being baptized is to wash away sins. That's what Ananias said to Saul, became the Apostle Paul. When Paul repeats his conversion, he mentions Ananias said, arise, why are you waiting? So, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. In Acts 2, verse 37, when they cried out, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission or the forgiveness of your sins. That newborn baby hasn't committed any sins. Therefore, doesn't need to be baptized. Biblically, sin is something you commit. It's a violation of God's word. Here's the biblical definition of sin. I've given you three illustrations. In James 4, verse 17, to him who knows to do good. Does that baby know to do good? Does that infant know to do good? Therefore, to those who know to do good and they don't do it, to him it's sin. That baby can't even talk yet. Doesn't know. The baby's certainly not guilty. Therefore, it doesn't need to be baptized. In John chapter 3, verse 4, biblical definition of sin. Whoever commits sin. Now, do you understand that? Sin is something you commit, not something you're born with. Sin's an action. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. Is the baby a lawbreaker? What law did that baby break? If sin is lawlessness, what law did that baby break? None. Third definition in 1 John 5, verse 17, all unrighteousness is sin. What's unrighteousness? It means you're just not doing right. The definition of righteousness is right in the word itself, the word right. Unright is sin. Baby doesn't know to do right yet. Baby hasn't committed any disobedience. The baby hasn't done wrong. Baby's not unrighteous. Therefore, is not qualified for the purpose of baptism, which is to wash away sin. Has it committed any sin? Sin is something you commit. A lawbreaker. Number four. God did not create a newborn guilty of sin. God did not create that baby already guilty of sin at birth. In Ecclesiastes 7, verse 29. Solomon said, truly, this only have I found. Here's a true statement. That God made man upright. But they have sought out many schemes. Baby's okay. Till it reaches an age or maturity enough to do that, commit something wrong. God, at the start, when that baby's born, God created that baby upright. Also in the prophet Ezekiel, in chapter 28, verse 15, you were perfect in your ways from the day you were created. You were perfect. Till iniquity was found in you. What's iniquity? Sin. What's sin? It's something you commit. That baby's perfect till they reach an age where they know right from wrong and commit sin. You think about Adam and Eve. Just by, put this in your notes too, just by being created by God, they weren't sinners. Everything was okay in the garden. Until they committed sin. They were in a great relationship with God. Everything was fine and dandy. Everything's good. Everything's all right. Because God created them. So when they committed sin in Genesis 3, verse 2, Eve said, well, we can eat the fruit of the trees in the garden. Yeah, we can do that. Oh, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Oh, well, they did that. God called them into account. In verse 13 of the same story, the Lord God said, what is this that you have done? Sin, something you commit. God created Adam and Eve upright, pure, innocent, fine, no sin. Until they violated God's law, then God said, what is this that you have done? And then verse 23, therefore the Lord God sent them out of the Garden of Eden. God, penalty. God did not create a newborn guilty of sin. There's no such thing as original sin. Guilty is charged, depraved. Number five, according to your notes, a baby born with original sin cannot be reconciled to God. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18, the Apostle Paul writes to the brethren It says, now all things are of God, right? Who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. I need to preach a message of reconciliation. How we can get back to God or be in God's favor. In verse 20, Paul said, we implore on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. The word reconciled means, and you can look up here, it means, first of all, there's a union. Sin separates, you know, Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. And then now we preach a good news message. You don't have to stay separated from God. You can be reconciled with God. Babies are born conciled with God. They're born pure, innocent, in favor with God. And then when sin is something you commit and that separates you from God, you're not sinners at birth. And then the good news gospel message is that ministry of reconciliation that God provided through Jesus, his son. You can come back to God, God's way. If a baby, a newborn, is born already separated from God, and he comes to God, where's he going to be reconciled to? Back to his separation from God. He's already separated. He says, oh, I think I'll become a Christian. Oh, but then what else? Oh, then you'd be reconciled to your former state? Separated from God? No, baby's born conciled. Sin separates. Be reconciled to God. Come back. Think about marriage as an illustration. A couple is united in marriage. There's a union. The union of marriage. But then what if there's something happens in that marriage where they become out of favor with each other and they separate? What's the word that's used when they come back together again? They reconcile back to the former state. You understand that? Same thing with God. The baby's conciled, born with God, in favor with God, no sin. Sin separates. Be reconciled to God by hearing the good news gospel message. Come back to that original state. Reconcile. That's the illustration. I'll do one more. Number six, then I'll close. God's view of children. God, what's your view of that baby, that newborn? Innocent. Moses reminds the Israelites of who will be entering the promised land when he gathers them together after the wilderness wanderings. He's about to go into Canaan's land, the promised land. And in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 38, Moses said, moreover, he tells these Israelites, your little ones and your children, who you said will be victims, you know, in the wanderings, who today have no knowledge of good and evil, they shall go in there. Who's going in? The little ones. Your children. And then God said, Moses said, and then I will give it, and they shall possess it. Then the adults in Moses' audience who did not go in and possess the land. Remember, they had to wander for 40 years because of that. In verse 41, it says, then they answered, we've sinned against the Lord. Not the little ones. Not the children. They're going into the promised land. The ones that are not going in are those that went into the land at the beginning to spy out the land and came back and said, God, we can't take it. There's giants in the land. So God said, you'll wander 1 year for every day you were in that land. Those 20 years old and upward were destroyed in the wilderness wanderings. Moses says, those 20 years old and younger, oh God, what did you say? These are my little ones. These are my children. They'll go in. Children go in. They're safe. They're safe. They're innocent. A child dies young, he's safe. He's innocent. In Psalm 106, verse 37, they even sacrificed, these are the Gentiles, the horrible people of the land. They even sacrificed their sons and daughters to demons, shed innocent blood. I said in the song. Who are the, who's the innocent blood? The sons, the daughters. The blood of their sons and daughters whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan. God, what's your view of children? They're my sons, the daughters. In Jeremiah 2, verse 34, also your, Jeremiah preaches to these people, your, on your skirts is found the blood of the lives of the poor innocents. Who are innocent? Chapter 19, verse 4, they've forsaken me. They burned incense to other gods. They filled this place with the blood of the innocents. They built the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for the burnt offerings of Baal. Who are the innocents? The little ones. The sons. The daughters that they sacrificed. In Ezekiel 16, verse 20, again, that same theme when the prophets preached against the people. Moreover, you took your sons and your daughters, whom you bore to me, meaning God. You bore these to me, but you slain my children. God, what do you think of the babies and the infants, the small children? God, what do you think of the little ones? My children. They're my children. You've offered them up by causing them to walk through fire, he continues. Children born with sin, guilty? No. No, they don't need to be baptized. They're safe. They're safe. Innocent. They're my children. We'll continue this lesson next Lord's Day, Lord willing. I just put these in your notes, but I'll also add next week. Notes, people want to be old when we're just presenting that infant, that child going through a dedication ceremony. I'll address that next week with the notes that I've given to you. We certainly pray for children. You ask me that one for me that we'll bring our husband up, and that we'll bring our child up and the nurture and the enemy to pray for that. Amen. I want you to know that children are innocent. I've given you 10 reasons why, biblically, why we don't baptize babies, infants, small children. We'll continue this lesson next week, Lord willing. As we said at the start, there's prerequisites to being baptized. And Jesus commissions his apostles. Matthew 28, go make disciples of all the nations. Those who men can hear and believe, turn their life around and make a confession. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, heavenly authority. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Has to be some understanding. And though I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. In Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, the Lord preached the gospel to every creature. He that believes, preach, and they have to believe the message, and is baptized, shall be saved. Jesus said in Luke 24, I want repentance and remission of sins preached in my name, beginning at Jerusalem. 10 days later, after he ascended to the Father, they're in Jerusalem, and they said in Acts 2, verse 38, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. In verse 41, those that gladly received her were baptized. And they continued in the apostle teaching, the breaking of bread and prayers. So when you're old enough to understand the gospel good news message, and you're convinced that I need to make my life right and be baptized, you need to be old enough to continue in the teaching, breaking of bread and prayer. So we sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation. If you've not done that already, you had that opportunity. So let's stand together and we'll sing it. You need a public way. If that's your desire, if that's your resolve, you can accomplish that. Just a moment to close of the song. Number 390.